Well, it's not that different. I mean, we're already in a different land. We've been in a different land for, the last year or so. But right now, this land, it's kind of the same, but it has really great books. And we are there right now to talk about our book picks for the week. And presenting them to us, we are pleased to present Giovanni Boven. He is here to tell us about some of the great books now out and on store shelves. He comes to us from the Book Loft in Great Barrington, Massachusetts. Giovanni, great to have you here. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Very nice to have you with us. So where would you like to begin, sir?
So the first book I'm going to talk about is Reincarnation Blues by Michael Poor. And this is my personal staff pick. It's just a really beautiful story. It's about two people. Well, people is kind of a loose term. We see Milo, who is the oldest soul in the universe. He has lived 9,995 lives. You have 10,000 lives to get it right. after 10,000 lives, if you haven't reached enlightenment, perfection, joined with God or whatever awaits you on the other side, you get pushed off the end of the sidewalk into the black nothingness, the void. So the pressure's on for Milo. But he's the universe's biggest slacker as well, because he's had so many tries. He only has 5 left. But the thing that's holding him back is this very long-term relationship he's had with Susie. And Susie is death. She is literally the anthropomorphized idea, death. And she meets him at the edge of the river every time he, let's say, completes a life. And they spend their time in between doing what most couples would do, laying around, cooking, shopping, dreaming of what the afterlife in this case could be. But the pressure's really on, so Milo only has 5 tries left before he gets thrown into oblivion, essentially. And the story takes us through his last 5 lives, some of his previous lives, and it's just a really interesting story about the things you learn when you're alive, the things you learn in between lives, and you can't always do it alone.
Now, it sounds kind of uplifting.
It is. It's very uplifting. It's okay. A beautiful story.
All right. Excellent. Well, the the name of the book is Reincarnation Blues by Michael Poor, and it's out now. Excellent. Where to next, sir?
Next, we have a science fiction novel. It's called Sea of Rust by C. Robert Cargill. And this is a little on the darker side. The robot apocalypse has come and gone.
Okay.
The last human...
Did you hear that, Liz? The robot apocalypse has come and gone. Okay, good news. All right, go ahead.
Yep, so the last human has died out 30 years prior to the beginning of our story. And the robots have essentially wiped out humanity and tried to create this robot utopia, which has been short-lived. Because once all the humans are dead, there's no one to create new parts, and nothing lasts forever, not even the robots. The biggest challenge is these one-world intelligence servers. There's 2 of them still in activity. They are fighting each other, as well as the remaining free bots, for global control, really. They want to have every single machine under their individual power. So the story introduces us to Brittle, who is a kind of a caregiver model, but she's also a veteran of the war with humanity, and she's pretty scary in her own right. She's survived a lot, and she continues her struggle and her fight and her journey for independence, as do many of the characters that we meet throughout this story. And the thing that's most engaging is that this is not a story that's monotonous. The robots aren't machine-like. The artificial intelligence in the story has evolved to the point of almost a humanity. They feel regret, remorse. The thing that's driving them the most is the self-preservation. You could almost call it the instinct. It's the third of Isaac Asimov's three laws of robotics. The law that a robot will do whatever it takes to remain alive. Granted, that does not involve the harm coming to a human, but those first two laws that prevent robots from harming humans or letting humans come to harm has clearly been eradicated, so they're just left with that self-preservation.
Wow. Okay, so there's a lot going on there. It's this. It's Sea of Rust by G. Robert Cargill, and yeah, for the science fiction fan on your holiday list, perhaps, or just a little holiday pick-me-up. Next up.
Next up, we have Radio Free Vermont by Bill McKibben. And Bill McKibben is known for these very dark, serious political nonfiction novels, but Radio Free Vermont is a complete turn from his usual works. It's a novel. It's very funny, almost a little uplifting, still on the political side, but the premise is a group of Vermonters are fighting for Vermont's independence. They want to secede from the Union, and they argue that they have a great export resource. They have the highest concentration of independent and microbreweries of any of the states, which personally, I believe that.
Yeah, that's good.
They have a high agricultural community. They have they produce their cheese. They're famous for their Vermont cheddar.
Yeah.
And it's just very funny. There's one character's grandmother that is in a nursing home sewing a new flag for the country of Vermont. They hijack a Coors beer truck and replace the beer with Radio Free Vermont microbrew, but at the same time they also bring a picnic basket full with a thermos of coffee for the driver, so they make sure that the driver's comfortable. It's a very kind of anticlimactic hijacking, but you know, if I got hijacked, I would love a thermos of coffee myself.
Yeah, well, or the microbrew, right?
Yeah.
And it's I saw it referred to as a fable. Is that correct? Is that how it's referred to?
A fable of resistance.
A fable of resistance. Well, it is. We love Bill McKibben, one of our great friends at this radio station. Radio Free Vermont by Bill McKibben, out now. A fable of resistance. All right, next up.
Next up, we have The Sun and Her Flowers by Rupi Kaur. This is her second collection of poetry, her first being Milk and Honey. And this is broken up into five chapters, Wilt, Fall, Root, Rise, and Bloom. And the poems are very short. They're bite-sized almost, the longest being maybe a page and a half, but they can be 2 to 3 lines. They're very simple, but they're very deep in their simplicity. They're also accompanied with very simplistic, but also very meaningful illustrations as well. And they range in subject from breakups and loss to sexual abuse and immigration. But then it grows throughout the story. Once we get past the wilt and the fall, you get into roots and rise, the self-empowerment, the self-love, and finally bloom, having that strength to move on from the tragedies and the heartaches that one may have incurred in one's life, either through failed relationships or family deaths or just physical or emotional trauma, and just overcoming that and growing and blooming and becoming a stronger, better person at the end of it.
The name of the book is The Sun and Her Flowers. All right.
Next up, we have a graphic novel, Paper Girls, Volume 1. It's the deluxe edition. It was written by Brian K. Vaughan. And the deluxe edition is this great big hot pink hardcover which will definitely stand out on your bookshelf. But if you like Stranger Things, then I believe you will like this book. It is about four young girls, all about 12 or 13, on their paper delivery route. It opens up with one girl being the target of some teenage bullies the day after Halloween and is kind of rescued by three other young girls, and they form this bond and go on their travel route, their paper route, traveling in a pack for safety. Now, it's the day after Halloween, so things are still a little weird. Things are still a little spooky. There are still people kind of not quite ready to give up the Halloween costumes just yet. But things take a turn for the weird.
Okay.
People start disappearing.
Oh, boy.
So there's a connection between the disappearances and these people that seem to be in Halloween costumes. They appear to be from different times or places, and the young girls have to kind of fight for survival and also try to unravel this mystery. It's volume one. The volumes continue. I believe volume three is coming out soon.
The name of the book is Paper Girls. It's the deluxe edition, volume one, by Brian Vaughn. Finally,
we have Ansel Adams. It's a photography book, the National Park Service Photographs, the expanded edition. Personally, I love Ansel Adams' photography. The National Park Service photographs are these beautiful, broad landscapes, and the black and white photographs are just very stark in contrast. The whites are very bright, the blacks are very dark. Ansel Adams had a tendency to photograph these broad, sprawling landscapes, but he was also a big proponent of preserving the national parks, making sure that they were available for future generations and trying to capture their beauty in the photographs before they disappear, before they're destroyed, either through human resource consumption or just through the ravages of time. It travels through the Rocky Mountain National Park, which I've personally been to, and the photographs do it justice, but there's nothing like seeing it in person. Also to Yellowstone and to Sequoia National Park, New Mexico, Arizona, the Grand Canyon, just all over the West, all these beautiful raw nature photographs, these raw landscapes, and makes a great coffee table book, makes a great gift for someone who's into nature photography or just into photography in general.
The name of the book is Ansel Adams, National Park Service Photographs, and it's by Ansel Adams with an introduction by Alice Gray, an absolutely beautiful, stunning book. Anything else going on in the bookstore you want to share with us of that's happening this holiday season?
This holiday season, we do have a local author, Jana Lays. She will be with us on December 16th doing a book signing and reading of her newest story collection, Billy Budd and the Bread Box. That's Saturday, December 16th at 3 p.m.
All right. And you can find out more information by going to thebookloft.com. Thebookloft.com is where you can find information about the bookstore, about their events, and the list, of course. We have the list posted on our website as well. You can go to our website, wamc.org/roundtable, wamc.org/roundtable. Giovanni Bovin is our bookseller today, and it's a great pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you very much for being with us.
Great. Thank you for having me.
Have a great holiday season.
You as well.
Again, you can find out more information by going to thebookloft.com or wamc.org/roundtable.